info.
Do you think that maybe those food items just came like that decayed already? I mean, what is really the truth?
I try to be careful not to use the word hoarding because I do not have further points at that.
Your number one station for talk. 99.3. Let's talk.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3. We are Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Nice to meet you if you're joining for the very first time. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. So if you're watching me, welcome to the show. Every Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, we discuss health and health-related matters only. If you've been following up on Morning Crossfire for some time now, you know that we don't usually miss our Health Thursday conversation. Sometimes we even repeat, you know, some previous shows that people requested that we should bring back. We've had cause to do that. That's to show you how important, how top priority we placed on Health Thursday conversation. And like I always say, Health Thursday is to answer questions and shed light on things. We don't treat on Health Thursday. What we do is to educate and enlighten your mind, our listener, on some health issues and health related matters. So you're very much welcome to join us today. And if you want to join us on Facebook and YouTube, you're very much welcome. Just go to your Facebook page and search for Nigeria Info 99.3. On there, you would be able to watch us live. And need I also remind you that I Beg to Differ debate competition is still on. You want to join in 4 p.m. weekdays, and you'll be able to catch up on the fun on I Beg to Differ. If you missed out on any of the debate, please go to our website to go catch up on the debates, anyone that you missed out on. Okay, you see the I Beg to Differ portal there on our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. Now let's begin. We are talking this morning about childhood eye diseases that we're talking about. We have a consultant ophthalmologist on the show this morning. Dr. Fumilayo Oguntoye joins us live in the studio. Dr. Fumilayo, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I hope it wasn't difficult getting here today.
Nah. Nah, there was a little traffic, but then not so difficult. Yeah.
So you're well rested now.
Oh, yes,
I am. We can begin now.
Yes, we can.
What are childhood eye diseases?
Okay.
I'm familiar with adults. I'm familiar, okay, yeah, but okay. Childhood, I mean.
So let me start by defining who a child is. I know most people would think that, oh, an adult is somebody that is above 18 years of age. But UNICEF defines a child as someone that is less than 16 years of age. Mm. So childhood eye diseases, these are basically eye conditions that are common or what we call prevalent. Okay. Or simply put, eye conditions that you can find in someone that is less than 16 years of age.
Okay.
So these eye diseases or eye conditions, they vary.
Okay.
So let me just classify it broadly under what we call treatable and preventable.
Okay.
So these two things that I've mentioned, they are under what we call avoidable causes of blindness.
Mm.
So it means that when you have an eye condition in this scenario in a child,
okay,
it can be something that you can even prevent from occurring. Or, yeah, when it does, then you can actually go ahead. There can be treatments for it.
Okay.
So I'll just list a few causes.
Yes, please.
So under the preventable, we have what we call corneal scarring. So I would like to explain what cornea means.
Yes, please.
So when you look at someone's eye, the front part of the eyeball is called the cornea. The front part.
Okay.
So as you're looking at me now,
yeah,
the black part that you can see, you know, in code from afar,
yeah,
there's actually like a transparent glass,
okay,
that is over it. That's the cornea.
Oh.
Yes. Everybody has it as transparent glass.
Oh,
what actually,
okay,
gives color to the eye,
mm,
that will make you think, oh, this person has blue eyes,
mm-hmm,
like what you find in Caucasians,
mm-hmm,
or in Africans, for example, oh, black,
mm,
is the iris. and that's what contains the melanin. So if you look at me very well, there's a glass. If you come very, really close, there's a glass in front of the eye. That's what they call the cornea.
It only covers the black part.
Yes, it only covers the black part. That's the front part of the eye. Okay. The white part of the eye continues even beyond what you can see.
Mm.
It goes all the way to the back.
To the back.
Yeah, that's what we call the sclera.
Okay.
So the front part is called the cornea. And that cornea is very important because when we talk about refraction of light rays, that means bending of light rays, to be able to see me, light rays must come from me to you. So the structures in the eye help to bend these light rays such that eventually you now have a focus point on the innermost part of the eye, which we call the retina. So
the light enters through the front.
Through the front, exactly.
Then it now converges.
Yes.
It bends.
So yes, that glass part would help to bend it such that if you look closely, in the center there's an aperture, there's a hole through which that light is going to pass to get to the back of the eye.
Center of where?
Center of the eye. Now, you know, apart from, you understand what I mean by cornea now.
Yes.
So there's the what I called the structure that gives pigment to the eye. That one I called it the iris. At the center of that iris is a hole.
There's a hole there.
Everybody knows that. Now, that black part, if you look at somebody's eyes, the black part, the center part, there is a darker part.
Oh, yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. There's a darker part.
But when you say it's a hole, I'm like, can I see inside?
Now, it's like I want to peep through this door.
Yeah.
Through the keyhole. Do you understand? So there's a keyhole.
Yeah.
So when I look through, it's a small hole right there. And that's what we call the pupil.
Oh.
And if you've ever gone for an eye examination before and they say they want to put eye drops to dilate your pupils, that's to make that keyhole bigger. So that they can view
inside
your back of the eye. They can have a better view. So it's like opening the door.
Okay.
Without putting the eye drops and peeping through that
keyhole.
By the time I open the door, it's like I've put eye drops to dilate that window or that hole.
So
and then I can
clear.
Have a proper view. So for children, if they've had injuries to their eyes before, you know, and then the thing is that cornea is supposed to be transparent. But then if anything happens to it, it heals with scarring.
Oh.
It's just like any part of our body.
Yeah,
if you've sustained a cut or a bruise or whatever, you may have a little scar there. So that front part of the eye too, you would have scarring. And that's why some people, when you look at their eyes, you see on that transparent, you might see something whitish or, you know, scarring generally. And that scarring helps to, it's affects the way the eye is supposed to bend the rays.
What usually causes scarring?
So now, the causes of scarring it can be from injury. You can have bed injuries in them. It can be from infections of that front part of the eye that was not properly treated.
Oh.
It can be from harmful traditional practices. So, for example, for some children, maybe let's use children that have suffered convulsion before. For example, people from all over, let's put some onions.
Put this.
Yeah. Let's put that.
Elijah.
Apart from putting the spoon in the mouth and you may have one or two teeth falling off and all that, you know, they tend to rub all sorts of things in the eye. Do you understand? And then a patient comes with this conjunctivitis, inflammation and all that, you know, swelling happening all over the eye. And then you may have some, you know, like I said, the cornea is supposed to be transparent. So anything, you've had a bruise, you've had, you know, eventually when it's going to heal up, it would heal up with scarring. Do you understand? Or somebody that has had an eye infection that was not properly treated, eventually when you see the results months or years down the line, you see scarring. People that have suffered from measles, do you understand? They can also have the scarring.
And once the scar is there, the
scar doesn't go off. So it's like it's permanent. When you have a scar in your body, it's permanent. But you know, the ones on our body, we don't really pay cognizance to it because it's not. But because that front part of the eye is responsible for 60% of that bending of that light rays. So if there's something happening to it, then you can imagine what the aftermath was going to be. So there's going to be reduced vision.
Right.
So leaving that, going to the other causes, you can have, a patient may have, okay, let's talk about the preventable ones, for example.
Yeah.
A patient that has cataracts, for example.
It's,
even though some children are born with cataracts,
okay,
by the way, that's not it.
Okay.
The fact that you have cataracts is not the end of it. It can be treated. And the treatments for that, depending on the type of cataract. Most cataracts in children would need to go through surgery. Most cataracts in children. The very few, there are some, they call it anterior, in the anterior part of the lens. Yeah. It's usually small, you know, insignificant. It really doesn't affect vision much and all. And then such a patient, you may just do a glasses test and they are fine. Yeah. But for majority of the cataracts, they may need to do what we call cataract surgery. But because maybe some people are apprehensive, they're scared, surgery, kilo shele, talene ishe. Sorry for those that don't speak Yoruba, but you know, like, this child is innocent.
Why?
So that's the question. So for example, if I'm to take cataracts in children now, you may want to say, why would a child have cataracts? Why? We know that.
You know, when we started, I asked that question, like, why? Like, a child.
You understand? So because the commonest thing in adults is they say as you get older, that's the commonest cause of cataract in adults. Just the way gray hair starts popping out on your head and all that.
Yeah.
That's also the same principle behind the lens getting cloudy, you know. But though there are some other causes, but that's just like the commonest cause in adults.
Yeah.
So for a child now, there are a variety of causes. This can be from genetics too. That has a role to play, though it can even happen on its own without maybe having a family history or the child inheriting some genes that may predispose to that. Then for some people or for some children, their mother had what we call some illnesses during pregnancy. And because, you know, it's the placenta from the mother that supplies, you know, nutrients and everything to the
baby.
To the child. So we'll call those ones intrauterine infections. So if a mother, for example, has an illness, so the way we find out in clinic, because they really don't know, they have names. You hear toxoplasmosis, you hear rubella, you hear herpes, you hear syphilis, you know, and the rest. The mothers don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
But one thing we ask them is, okay, when you were ill, especially in the first trimester, you know, did you have fever and rash? You know, because you know, in Nigeria, most fever, they'll just say it's malaria or what have you. But you know, malaria really doesn't come with a rash and all. Did you have to be hospitalized and all that? Third trimester too is important for such people. So they will tell you, yes, I had this, I had that and all that. For close to delivery, people that have, what's it called, genital discharge, as in vaginal discharge or rash or what have you, you know, the child is going to pass through the bed canal, for example.
That's
so
right.
You know, things like herpes, the genital herpes may be contagious for that particular baby that is coming out, you know, and the rest. So we have intrauterine infections, you know, we have genetics, we have some chromosomal abnormalities. Really, there are some, there are quite a number, but then it's not just the eyes that this is affecting now, you know, but then such a patient can have cataracts. People that have, I know, I'm sure you've heard of Down syndrome, for example, in addition, to the physical features they may have, the slow intellect and all that, you know, they may also have cataracts, you know, squints and the rest and all that.
You know, hold on, Dr. Fumilayo. Try and rest a little bit. Rest. I know there's stuff. You have stuff. That's what we used to call brilliant people in school back then. You have stuff. Oh, calm down. I would come back to you, right? But I want us to quickly, because by the time we open up these phone lines now, your parents will start calling and everything.
Okay.
Because I want us to quickly delve more into, you know, the parent listening to me right now.
Yeah.
What are the things that...
their concerns.
You know, what are the things that he or she should watch out for?
Okay.
Because most parents don't even pay attention.
Attention, very good.
What are those signs that they should watch out for?
Okay. So now let's come down to the general average parent of the streets.
Yeah.
So I didn't say this initially, so let me just mention it here. The commonest cause of visual impairment or visual complaints in a child will be what we call refractive errors.
Okay.
So that basically means that the refraction of the eye or the bending of the light rays is not coming to a point focus on the retina.
Where it should be.
You know, there are different types. If you remember from secondary school or primary school, you hear of short-sightedness. It's a form of refractive error. It means that the child can see what is close clearly. When it comes to what is far away, the child has difficulty.
Yeah.
So we also have what we call long-sightedness, which is the reverse. Child can see what is far away very well, but then when it comes to near objects or the child has difficulty. We also have what we call astigmatism.
Okay.
So this one can happen both at near and far. You know, it just basically means that you have a line focus instead of a point focus.
Right.
So for the average parents, when you start seeing your child, for example, have shutting his or her eyes, what the typical person we call squinting, you know, the way they do their eyes like this, you know, because they're trying to like increase their depth of focus. You know, they've realized that when they reduce the as an opening of their eyes, they may tend to see better. That should give you a cause for concern. For some people, when it's time to do their classwork, their teachers may give feedback to the parents that, oh, this child copies, you know, what is not on the board, or the child is not performing well in school, or the child is, or some teachers that are very proactive may end up, you know, you come and sit on the front row. It's like when you sit in the middle or at the back, at the end of the day, you don't get you, and it's not like you're not brilliant, you know, it's just basically the child is not seeing clearly and all. So that is also one. So basically, if you have any visual complaints generally, from my vision is blurry, or, you know, things appear that they're looking like double, or maybe I have some strain, you know, around the eyes, you know, as if, you know, you have weight or fatigue around your eyes and all. You shouldn't just discard. You should just say, I think your friends are wearing glasses. You want to wear glasses. As in, it's best for you to, oh, come, let's go to the hospital. Yeah. Let's go to an eye clinic.
Yeah.
Have a checkup. And then they say, oh, everything is fine. Oh, no, we need to give you glasses. Mm. And when doctor says, come and take glasses, don't be sad. You know, it's supposed to help your child see better.
Yeah.
So some parents will come and tell me that my child has been wearing glasses for 4 years, for 7 years. Will the child ever stop wearing glasses?
So
his position just keeps getting
it keeps
going up.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that, Dr. Fumilayo, because I am particularly curious whether this eye defects can be cured, especially children can be cured of eye defects or not, especially by medication or through wearing glasses. But we need to take this short break now. Lagos, if you're joining us right now, you're welcome. It's a Crossfire and it's Health Thursday. I'm Sheriff. Dr. Fumilayo is here, consultant ophthalmologist. If you're watching online, please drop your questions for us there. We have some information for you right now.
Point 3, Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Crossfire Health Thursday. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Dr. Fumilayo is still here, a consultant ophthalmologist in the studio. I'm going to ask just one question before we start taking your reactions, your questions for Dr. Fumilayo. We're discussing childhood eye diseases or eye conditions, if you like. If you've got questions in that direction, please feel free to drop it with us on our streaming feeds on Facebook and YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on those two platforms. Dr. Fumilayo, thank you again for coming through today.
You're welcome.
So, eye conditions in children, can they be cured? Can they be, or they can only be managed?
Okay. So, management may be such that you are, oh, okay, let's do this for you. For example, the case of refractive errors.
Okay.
At the same time, it may be towards cure.
Okay.
So it may be curative. For example, if a child has cataract, like I've mentioned,
okay,
and he needs to go through the surgical route, there's really, doing anything else is just, you know, you're just buying time or what have you.
Okay.
And for children, once you have cataracts that require surgery, the earlier you do the surgery, the better. You know, like I said, some children are born with cataracts, maybe notice that 1 month of birth, 2 months, you know, after birth and all. Don't say, this child is too young.
How do you know?
There's nothing like that.
How do you know at that age?
How do you know at that age?
1 month, 2 months, that's a child has cataracts.
So, once you are able to see through the eyes, as in, the child opens the eyes. Well, nowadays, somebody said jokingly that children now open eyes. So the day they are born, you just see their eyes open. Or like those days when they are still like this.
Yeah.
But you know, once you can look through the eyes, even for the mothers, they would notice that at that center part, I was talking about this hole, to the average person, you see it as black. If it is transparent all through, like if the lens behind that, you know, the iris is clear, you're going to see through the pupil, which is the hole. And what you're going to see is, oh, it's transparent all through. It is clear. It will appear to the average person as it is black. By the time you are seeing a whitish speck, that's a red flag. Something is wrong. You should take the child to the hospital. Let an expert examine.
So that's how parents would know.
Oh, okay.
There's a whitish speck. Mm. When the child opens the eye, there's something there. Mm. Or then the child is not seeing. You know, as a child gets older,
yeah.
usually children, when they see something that attracts them, you know, they're able to follow.
Yeah. Sound,
know?
Yeah.
Yes, sound, light, and all that.
Movement,
you know. Child is about 3 months. The child is not fixing at a particular gaze. You put all these, their jingles or whatever in the court.
Yeah.
You know, the child is not attracted, but he's not looking at it. The child would rather, you know, just do something. You understand? That's something that should not, you shouldn't think that it is normal.
Okay. All right.
And as the child grows older, the eye can be deviated. I've heard some people, okay, when I say deviation, it's vision that helps us maintain that straight eyes.
Okay.
If there's no vision, the eye has a tendency to deviate. So there can be a deviation outwards or inwards. What we call it squints.
Okay.
Some people call it, is it 4.5 eyes or something? Or I've heard somebody say Ojoro eyes. It's like you are looking at A and B things that you are looking at.
Cross eye. Like
cross eyes, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
So deviation of the eye. So if that eye is not seeing, the eye would deviate. So that tells you should also have your eyes checked. So like I said, in children, once cataract is picked up, the earlier the better.
Okay.
Before fixation is fully formed. You know, we usually say, oh, from about, we wait till they're about 2 months, you know, before you say you want to do surgery. And for children, because when we do cataract surgery, we don't just remove the lens that is cloudy.
Okay.
We also replace it with an artificial lens. But in children, because, you know, people have done studies and have shown that you have complications from doing it too early. So we tend to wait till after about a year. So between 1 and 2, before we now go for a second surgery to be able to put in that lens, artificial lens, exactly. So diagnosis of cataracts in children is not, as in, it's like the beginning point. Doing surgery is like the beginning point because the child will need to be followed up, you know, lifelong, you know, and all. So for the refractive errors now, which is the commonest, which is the questions parents always ask
always
when
ask,
they come to these glasses, it just does not
cure
this, what is happening. So now, I give them this analogy that the glasses is like a protective clothing. So you are abroad, the weather is cold, you're in winter, what have you, you know, and you put on your winter jacket. And you now come to tell whoever that, ah, when I pull my jacket, I'm cold. As in, you're outdoors, you pull your jacket and you're cold. You know, it just stands
to reason. Of course, you'll be cold.
You will be cold. So the glass is meant to correct vision when it is on your face. You know, whether glasses, whether contacts, you know, it's like temporary when it's on your face. When you take it off, your eyes is back to what it was before you, you know, got the glasses. And for children, for the short-sightedness that is common in them, you know, because as they grow, the eye also tends to grow. So there will be a need to change. You know, it can be like maybe after a year, you know, they may be like an 0.5 change or maybe after about 2 years, you know. But then on the average, a child wearing glasses or needs, you should minimum, very minimum, once a year. Some doctors may say, well, come and see us again in 6 months so that we can assess, is the child still comfortable with the glasses? Hope there are no scratches in the glasses. But no children, a child will always be a child. A child will not take care of his or her glasses the way an adult would do. So, you know, you may encourage the child does not wear glasses. You know, because children, sometimes their peers, you know, make fun of them. You're wearing glasses, you have 4 eyes, you have all those kind of things. But it's just to help the child's psychology that if you wear these glasses, you're able to see well, you perform better in school and all that compared to if you don't wear it.
Indeed. So, all right. Let's begin to take reactions now. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. For female callers only, just for female callers only. Feel free to also drop your questions for us on our live stream on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can do that. Let me start with YouTube. We have plenty for you on YouTube. I'm going to start with Igoni Philip. Igoni Philip on YouTube says, I'm 45 now and I have problem seeing. Philip, give me a moment. Let me quickly do this. My system is seeing far and reading. What's the reading on my TV screen unless I move closer? Any solution without using glasses?
Okay, so because this person is 45 years old, there's something we call presbyopia. It's like a physiologic condition.
Okay.
It happens at about the age of 40. So basically, it just means that the lens and structures around it, they're not as elastic as they used to be. A child would see, you know, bring it close, the child is seeing. Take it far, the child is seeing.
Yeah.
But an adult, when something is at intermediate or far distance, you may be able to see it. But when it comes to close, it's like you need more focusing power. Mm. And the eye is becoming weak, in quotes. Mm. Can't do that. Mm. That's why most people at about the age of 40 may require reading glasses in addition to help. Mm. Another thing is because of the age-related changes that will be happening in the lens, for example. The lens also gives refraction to the eye, helps to bend the light rays further after the cornea has done its own.
Right.
So if the lens becomes cloudy, you would have some form of problems with refraction. And so giving you glasses would help optimize your vision. Mm. That's why for somebody that has cataracts, you know, it's not like, oh, you have cataract, it is surgery. There are different levels to the cataracts.
Okay.
So there's what we call, it's immature cataracts. You know, it's just early lens changes that is happening there. We need to do glasses test for you, give you glasses to optimize your vision. But the time will come when glasses doesn't do much of improving your vision, and then we say, oh, you just have to come in for surgery.
Yeah, I mean, you just say it casually, like, oh, you just have to come in for surgery, like it's just so casual. Like, and by the way, how are you not using glasses?
People always ask me this question, and the reason I tell, the answer I give them is, and maybe it's not just time yet. People always ask me that, how come you're an eye doctor and you don't wear glasses? I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's just not time yet.
Smart.
I don't know.
let me take this on from David on YouTube. David said, I'm sorry, I'll come to the telephone now. David says, Dr. Fumilayo, thank you for your in-depth explanation. Please, could you talk about trachoma in children?
Trachoma in children. So that's an interesting one.
Okay.
So we have this organism called chlamydia trachomatis. That's the word.
Okay.
That's the name of the organism that causes it.
Okay.
So it's not so common down south, but up north, that's because of cleanliness and all that. Mm. You know, there are water, you have the organism, and you know, and then it's easily contagious. You have flies. It's flies that carry it. So by the time a child has all the inflammatory whatever happening in his face with the discharge and all, and because hygiene is not so good, a fly will perch on child A and can easily transmit it to another child. So there's basically, in treating trachoma, there's what we call the safe strategy.
Okay.
So I will start from the reverse. That's taken from the E. So environment. The environmental cleanliness is important. That's the E part. The F is the facial cleanliness. For people that have it, you know, I always advise that they wash their face, you know, regularly with clean water.
Do they see?
While
having trachoma?
They see. But then you have the aftermath, because it causes the what we call the lid margin, for example. Mm. It can turn in. You see this lash that is upwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You have inturning too.
Oh,
inturning of the lash. And you know, like I said, the cornea, by the time your lash that is supposed to go up and out like that, and the down one will come like this, by the time you have interning and then it begins to rub on your cornea, you have corneal scarring resulting from that.
Oh.
And then that would eventually drop the vision.
Hmm. Okay, let's go on. Environment.
You understand? Yeah. So facial cleanliness.
Yeah.
So the A part is, so they do mass distribution of, as an antibiotic, azithromycin.
Okay.
You know, so that you can, you know, like I said, it's a microorganism. You're trying to treat it. And then the S is what you don't want to hear, but I have to say it. Guess. It's surgery now. Okay. So
yeah,
basically.
Not nice.
No.
Surgery,
but then,
like,
so now for them. You have, like, it's like you are rotating the lid margin outwards.
Yeah.
So you have like an,
because it's been twisted inwards.
Yes,
already.
Yes. It's gone in. There's a medical term for that, but I don't need to bore you with that, what we call entropion and all. So it's turned inwards.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that it's inwards, the lashes would follow.
Mm.
And that would rub and rub and rub and rub. And because you don't want what we call scarring.
Yeah.
Because that is gonna have problems with refraction and vision would go down and all. So you kind of rotate it outwards so that it's gone back.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a call because we have tons of questions online. Good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. We're going to take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning. Morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Go on, please.
This is Mr. Charles.
Welcome.
Yes, sir. This is my first time caller.
Yes, please. Please go on. Let's have your question, please.
Hello, sir.
We can hear you. Please go on.
Okay. What I want to ask her is this, sometimes there's something in my eye, just like black something. Anytime I turn my eye left side, it will follow. But if I turn the other side, it will follow. Just like black something. I try to use something to remove, but I can't. What do I do?
Is it just on one side of the eye or both?
Yes, one side of the eye, left side.
Left side. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for him?
Yeah. No.
Okay,
I'm fine.
Okay.
So that black thing, that black something that you, some people will say cobweb, some people will say ants, that thing is what we call floaters.
Okay.
Floaters. So something moves around. When you move your eye, like you rightly said, the thing follows it. So what
Are
causes that? There's something we call the vitreous gel.
Okay.
It occupies the back part of the eye. So it's supposed to be like a gel, you know, just like the name signifies.
Yeah.
But then as we get older, you have some degeneration happening there. For some people, it may even happen in a young person. Maybe if the person has had an injury to the eye before, or maybe somebody that has what we call high myopia, you know, progress, because the eye keeps growing, power changes. So you also have some stretching happening to that vitreous gel. So the thing is, when it breaks down, or when it stretches, or when it degenerates, you find it as strands, something that's supposed to remain to be like a gel
together.
So it's broken down. You have something. So that's what we call floaters. So it moves around. So basic for most people, it really doesn't disturb their vision.
Okay.
They're able to see where they're able to go about their daily activities. The only problem is that you just feel like there's something there. You give them a cup of water and they're like, oh, there's dirt inside this thing.
Oh.
Whereas it's not so, you know, it's just that. So some of the judges with time, they'll tend to, they are able to navigate around it and get used to it. But there are other red flags that may occur. So if somebody has floaters, we need to dilate the pupils to examine the back of the eye to be sure that there are no breaks happening. Because what that causes is that for some people, it will progress to what we call flashes.
Okay.
So as it moves, as that vitreous, as it moves, it pulls on the light-sensitive structure of the eye, which is the retina, and they see it as flashes. So it's like they just see the flash will just go like this, lightning.
Yeah.
And they're like, so that's the, it's like a consequence from having that. So once, because it may pull on the retina, as in you just have that. If the flashes and all that comes, if it worsens, you can actually now have a break or a tear.
Yeah.
And that can also result to what we call a retinal detachment. And you would have vision drop. So what we tell our patients when you have that, okay, we'll examine, oh, things are fine. We'll counsel you. We'll tell you what the red flags are, danger signs that you should present to the hospital. Because once we see you, may say, oh, come and see us again another 4 months or what have you.
Okay.
You know, but if you see these things, don't wait. Don't say, my appointment is still in 2 weeks' time. I will wait.
Once you
that
see
day
these things.
Or the very next day, let a doctor examine you, an eye doctor, and then tell you that, oh, things are fine. Because there could be a tear or an ROD. And what those things will cause is they may reduce your vision.
Yeah.
And the earlier you do, you intervene, the better. So once we can establish that, oh, there is a break there, or there is a tear, we may have to send you to what we call a vitreoretinal specialist. There are very few of them around, but then they would then take it up from there so that your vision can be saved. Because the longer, if somebody ends up having a retinal detachment, for example, the longer it stays, the worse the prognosis.
But these floaters, if someone wants to just put an end to it, like...
There's really nothing like that. Some people will say, oh, I know of this eye drop that I use it. It's more like palliative. It may not really take it off. Sometimes they may settle on their own, or you just get used to it. So some people will advocate, oh, this eye drop, but then, you know, neither here nor there.
I need to bring you back here. I don't know how soon I can bring you back here, because next week we're discussing stroke, and the upper one, we have another topic for that one. But I would find time to bring you back here, because I mean, look at the telephone line.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really don't know. But let's see if we can squeeze in another call, yeah? Good morning to you. Okay, that's gone. Let's take another one. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Lara from Ikorodu.
You're welcome.
I don't know what name it's called, but I once taught a little boy that I discovered in a group photograph we took in class. There's always a red spot in one of his eyes. And that occurred in all the group photographs we took.
Oh.
So I had to go to a colleague who happens to be an expatriate. And she told me it was an eye defect. I then got in touch with the mother. It was a single mother. And she confessed that it was so. So I was so mad with her. Why didn't you let me know? So I want to know the name such is called.
The defect.
I have floaters. I've had floaters over 10 years. It's not disturbing me. I'm used to it now.
Oh, wow.
And I've developed cataracts. So I'm due for surgery. Hold me up in prayers.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Grandma Molar. Yeah. The red spot.
So that red spot is what they call a cat eye reflex. You know, when you see a cat at night, you can see that glow.
Oh, that's what she was talking about.
Yes,
I was going to ask you that. Like, I mean, when you snap some people's picture, it's so only their eyes that will be glowing. The other people's eyes will be normal.
So now, for some
people, I
didn't
know that's what she's talking about.
You know, sometimes you take a picture and you have that. Yeah. But she raised the point. She said consistently. Sometimes maybe from focusing of the camera and all that, you may have that red spot or whatever come up, you know, and then it's not there all the time. But you said it's there all the time.
Yeah.
That means that there's something happening. So one thing we tell our patients is one very what's it called? It's like the extreme things that you should be bothered about is what we call retinoblastoma. When you have this cat eye reflex, because retinoblastoma is the commonest intraocular, meaning inside the eye tumor. It's a tumor. What we call cancer.
Inside the eye.
It's happening inside the eye.
So this could be it?
It could be it. But that's like the worst nightmare you can ever think of.
What are the implications?
Okay. The implication is, first of all, if it is that, the person needs to have the eyes checked. So there are basically three things we look at when we are managing such a patient. Okay. So the first thing is, can we save the eye? Can we save the vision? That's one. Because some people, but then in Nigeria, they tend to present late. It's abroad that you see that, they're really doing something, you know, applying laser, doing cryotherapy, you know, depending on the size of the tumor and all that.
Right.
So can we save vision? If we can't save vision, can we save the eye? If we can't do that, can we save life? So for some people, with the way they present in Nigeria, you know, quite a number of them would need to have the eye removed.
Let's go to break. When we return from this break, it'll be our final break. I will have you give all your details for those who want to ask questions or get some clarification on some things. Lagos will be back. Stay with us. We are back on the Morning Crossfire. We have less than 2 minutes to go. Dr. Fumilayo is still here with me. Dr. Fumilayo, so you're going to give out your social media details right now so my listener can go on there, follow you, like you, and ask you questions. Yeah?
Okay, so that's fine. So on Instagram, it's fumilayo.oshinaike.
Okay.
Fumilayo.oshinaike. Oshinaike
is O-S...
O-S-I. Okay. There's no H. Okay. O-S-I-N-A-I-K-E.
Okay.
Then Fumilayo. F-U-N-M-I-L-A-Y-O. So Fumilayo.oshinaike. And then you can also reach me on my email. Because I know I go through email and I respond. So that is dolpino002. So I'll just spell that at yahoo.com. Dolpino is D-O-L-P-I-N-O. Then 002.
Okay.
At yahoo.com.
Dr. Fumilayo Ogutoye, consultant ophthalmologist, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
I have to bring you back here. We didn't touch on so many things. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can follow me on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri, on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri, and on Facebook at Sheriff Quadri. I'll see you on Monday at 5. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. Entertaining and informing. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.